Hey, it's good to see all of you here this weekend on Labor Day weekend. Whether you're with us in person, you made the trip back just for church and are going back up to the lake later, thanks for being here. If you didn't and you're online, great to see you too. I know some people are doing church at home with like a couple different families together in pajamas and donuts, so you all made the wrong choice. That should have been where you were at, but that's fine. Maybe we'll do that for like a Christmas Eve service in the future or something like that. But glad to be with you. If we have not met before, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Jamestown Harbor. Glad to have you all with us. We are in week number 3 of our Dear Neighbor series, as we've kind of alluded to already this morning. During this series, what we kind of wanted to do was to say, as we're coming back to Riley Street from the Pinnacle Center this summer, as I'm starting here new, it's my kind of way of saying like, hey, here's what we fell in love with the church, for the reasons why we fell in love with this church. And it's also just to remind us as we kind of just get back into the regular swing of things, who God has called us to be as a church and why we believe we exist in our neighborhoods and communities where we find ourselves. And if we were to write a letter to our neighbors about who we are and why we existed, we would kind of talk about these 6 core values, of which we've already talked about 4 of them, but these kind of make up who we are and how we get after our mission of helping people find their way back to God. And so in week number 1, we talked about the story of Zacchaeus, this wee little man that wanted to come and find out who Jesus was and what Jesus was up to in his world. He had heard about this guy. And what we realized from Jesus is that Jesus kind of points out to us 2 things to pay attention to. One, that Jesus really cares about people that are not a part of the community. And so our first core value was that we want to be outsider focused as a church. And what we mean by outsider is just anybody that's not a part of our community yet in kind of the life and what we do here. And how Jesus got about that with Zacchaeus was that he joyfully invited him to come down out of the tree to have dinner with him, and his life was changed because of those 2 practices. Week number 2, we talked about the woman at the well. We've heard this story a multitude of times, but we wanted to look at it from a little bit of a different angle, and how Jesus in that moment kind of entered into this discipling moment, this discipling relationship with her. She had some ideas and understandings of who God was and maybe what God was up to. And this was Jesus' kind of way of entering in and saying, hey, all of those things that you believe, they are great. Let me help you just kind of reorient them to grow even deeper spiritually. And because of what Jesus did, because of discipling relationships, which was our 3rd core value, the 4th thing kind of happened where she went and now had this new authentic story that we talked a little bit about. When we have these moments, when we have these authentic stories, they have a way of not just impacting ourselves, but our neighbors and the people that we are around. When we are excited about something, when we've been changed because of something, right? We do this all the time with like different products that we buy or different vacations that we went on or whatever it is. When we have this experience with something and we share it authentically, it has a way of impacting people around us. And we kind of talked about how do we then share our authentic stories about how Jesus has changed our lives in order to impact the community around us. This week, we are going to talk about a church that is found in the book of Acts, the church in Antioch. And what they did are 2 really intriguing things. They spent some time in prayer together, and they also spent some time sending people. And I think what this story does really well is it kind of helps exemplify what we are after as a church when we talk about our last 2 core values, which are these that are on the screen. They are healthy teams. We care about forming healthy teams, and we care about missional multiplication. What do we mean by both of those, though? We'll start with missional multiplication. Missional multiplication, when we talk about that, we mean that we are a church on mission to make an impact beyond ourselves. We care about what happens outside of these walls, and we care about missions that reach people in various different stages of life throughout various different parts of the world. We believe that God calls us to missionally multiply what we are doing here in the world around us. And how we do that is through creating healthy teams. We believe that being a part of healthy teams in a healthy church helps missional multiplication happen. So when we say healthy teams, we mean that we build healthy teams to do healthy ministry well. So to help us get at talking about healthy teams and missional multiplication, I thought I would tell you a story this morning. My son does not want me to tell the story. That's fine. I'm going to tell you a story about the worst team that I've ever seen, okay? So buckle in. This may bring back some trauma for many of you, but see if you can figure out who this team is. A team that didn't have a healthy team and had no idea what their mission was throughout the year. So go back with me a few years. Before the season began, there was actually a lot of reason for optimism and hope around this team. This team had talent. They had experienced coaches who we had paid a lot of money to. They had players who had already proven they could compete and had made Pro Bowls over the past couple of years. There was one young player who would eventually become one of the greatest ever at his position. In this season, they went an impressive 4-0 before the season began in preseason. They were undefeated. Their fan base was ecstatic. There was so much hope. They were drinking it like Kool-Aid. They couldn't wait for the regular season to begin because this was our year. When the regular season started, though, everything changed. They lost their first game, which is fine. Teams lose their first game. It's okay. They can recover. They lost a second, still not the worst thing in the world, but then they lost a third and a fourth week. And then in week 5, their quarterback dropped back near his goal line, scrambled backwards under pressure, and accidentally ran out of the back of the end zone for a safety. And that team would go on to lose by exactly 2 points that week. Now they were 0-5, and the losses just kept coming. By the final week, they were not thinking about the championships. They were simply trying to avoid history. Not the good kind of history, but the bad kind of history. They fought back to tie the final game 14-14 after 3 quarters, but eventually the 4th quarter came and everything fell apart and the final score was 31-21. There were 16 games, 16 losses, not one victory. They had some of the best coaches. They had some great talent. They practiced together. They traveled together. They wore the same uniform. They had the same meetings. They stood on the same sideline, but none of that made them a healthy team. If you still haven't figured out who I'm talking about, I'm talking about the 2008 Detroit Lions, right? And this image, I think, perfectly sums up everything that they stood for that year. Like, just atrocious, right? But I think here's why this matters for us, why I tell you this kind of goofy and quirky story. The Lions had all of this talent. They had all of these coaches that they had paid a ton of money on. They had done all of the scouting. They had all of the right pieces in place, but it didn't matter to them. Their systems, their schedules, their job descriptions, none of that mattered because overall, they were an extremely unhealthy team with an unhealthy culture. What we realize by looking at this team is that healthy teams and healthy churches for us are not simply groups of people who accomplish and get things done. They are people who follow Jesus closely. The story we're going to look at, I think, sets their team up really well for where God wants them to go first. And I think for us as a church, we need to follow their example. And so with football season back, and with all of us trying to convince ourselves that yet again, this is going to be the Lions' year, I thought with this message, I would give us 3 points in honor of the 2008 football season where Jason Hansen, the field goal kicker, was the top scorer for that team that year, okay? He had 88 points, which tells you everything you need to know about how terrible that team was, okay? So I've got 3 things I want to talk about from this passage this morning. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 1 of this story. What we see is we see a church that has come together for various different reasons. The church of Antioch is one that had started from the fleeing of people from Jerusalem throughout all of the known world. Some of them found each other in this ancient city and started a church. And the people that we're going to talk about had been there for about a year before this story starts. What we're going to find from them is that there's different people with different stories, with different backgrounds, but the way that they did church well set them up to have a healthy group of people who were ready to missionally multiply when God called them to do that work. So here's how the story starts. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. There was Barnabas, Simon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were there worshiping the Lord and fasting. Here's where I want to stop. Point number one for this morning from this story is that healthy teams and healthy churches begin with spiritual health, not merely organizational skill. Right? It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them. We'll get to what the Holy Spirit says in a minute. But before the Spirit gave them an assignment of what they were to do, Luke shows us the spiritual posture of this team. He shows that the first thing that they did is that they were worshiping, they were fasting, they were listening in great anticipation for what God was going to say to them. This is where all of the health for this church began, was with their leaders and their elders getting together to do this well. Notice that it wasn't like, how do we have the most efficient consistory meeting? How do we have the most like planned out service from top to bottom? It wasn't like, how do we have the best outreach team? How do we have the best kids ministry team? How do we use Planning Center well? How do we communicate through email well? While all of those things are important, and we care a lot about those things here, that was not ultimately where they started. Even though organization matters, right? Go back to the 2008 Detroit Lions for me. They had all of the things, right? I have another fun image up there, right? Was that anybody? Is that any of you that were in there? No? Okay. What we realized about this team is they had top of the notch. Like they had a new stadium. They had top of the line technology. Like the Fords were just pumping a ton of money into this thing. But what you realize really quickly is that this team was anything but healthy. They were not focusing on the right things, right? They weren't focusing on actually being a team. They were focusing on trying to implement the best plays with the best players, but they weren't caring about how their chemistry was overall. And I think for us, as we look at Acts chapter 13, it reminds us that organizational health can never replace spiritual health. A church can be well organized and still be incredibly spiritually unhealthy. This is true for many churches, but a healthy church team, they should first and foremost be shaped by a few different things that a spreadsheet can't create. There has to be an air of humility, an air of trust, an air of deep discernment on whatever level of the church you are a part of, from kids ministry to worship ministry to consistory to staff, wherever you are in that spectrum, there has to be a healthy level of listening and prayer and honest communication and ultimately a deep submission and love for Jesus Christ above all else. And that last one matters significantly. We're not just trying to get together to know one another. We're trying to learn and listen for what Jesus is doing in and amidst of our communities. And I think when we get that right first, like the church in Antioch, if we get that right first, that changes so many things for what we do. It changes the way that we ultimately serve, right? It doesn't just end up being like, hey, I got another Planning Center invite to like be on the guest services team or to be in kids ministry or to be in worship and I got to show up for whatever it is to do the thing, right? It gets to change to be, hey, instead of like being a warm body in kids ministry, I get to enter into this and say, we get to pray for these kids each week when we walk in here because we care that the mission that we've been given to help people find their way back to God impacts these kids so that they will grow up knowing who Jesus is. As we enter into like a greeting team, it's not just, hey, we get to say hi to people as they walk in the door, although that is an important job and healthy. We get to do that in such a way that we say, hey, how from the minute that somebody walks in the door or even drives onto the campus, how do we know and let people know that Jesus loves them at a deep level? How do we pray for those people even before they walk into our space? How do we care for them at such a deep level that they may never know, but we as a team have been praying for them because we care about them that much? How do we be a church that healthy ministry flows from our spiritual healthy people as together we're learning to follow Jesus together? How do we be that sort of church where healthy ministry flows out of the spiritually healthy people learning to follow Jesus together? So when we talk about healthy teams, we're not just talking about building healthy structures and communications and having really cool spreadsheets and manuals and all of these sorts of things. We want our teams to pray together. We want our teams to tell truth to each other well. We want to know and encourage each other and be invested in our lives at a deep matter. We want to understand why our ministry matters and care more about following Jesus than about our preferences for what we might like. We want to care about all of those things more than anything else, because healthy churches begin with spiritual health, not with organizational skill. Which brings me to part number two, chapter 13, verse 2. Because of this work that they get to do, there's this moment where the Spirit begins to talk to them about what they should do next. And so verse 2 again goes like this: while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Point number two is this: that the Spirit calls people in community and sends them through community. The Spirit's call in this verse is deeply personal to Paul and Barnabas. But in Acts chapter 13, we see that it is not a private matter. It's not just them saying, hey, this is what we're going to do, and we're just going to go and do it. It was collectively done with the church community, who was actively seeing who they were up to and were able to hear in the midst of everything else going on that Paul and Barnabas were in fact the people that were going to do the work of God. There's this important picture of how calling works in a healthy church. We often will use language around here at Harbor Churches and Jamestown Harbor around "I see in you" conversations, right? This is a way for us to say, as we've spiritually discerned, as we've been praying for our communities, as we've been praying for all of you in this conversation, we see that there's something that God has gifted you to do with the gifts and the talents that you have to better and further his mission that he's given us as a church. It's a way of saying, I see in you these beautiful and healthy things that create Christian community. And when we do that well, healthy Christian community helps us recognize whether what we're hearing from the Lord is actually what we're hearing from the Lord, or if it's maybe something that we need to do in a different way. Barnabas and Saul were not strangers to this church. If you go back to Acts chapter 11, there's a section where it's like a very small, like maybe one or two verses, where it says Paul and Barnabas had been in Antioch for about a year. There's very few things that happened between Acts chapter 11 and 13 at this moment, but it was enough time for Paul and Barnabas to be in this church, for them to know them so well that when the Spirit began to talk to them, they knew in fact that Paul and Barnabas were the individuals that were supposed to go. And when the Spirit said that, they were able to say, yeah, we see that too in these individuals. Healthy teams help people recognize gifts. They help them to develop those gifts, and then they help release people into meaningful ministry. And so when we talk about building healthy teams and churches, that's what we want to do. It changes the way we think about church from just saying, hey, we have a hole that we need to plug somewhere, although that is a reality from time to time, to, hey, who is the best person to help the mission of God go forward through this area of ministry? Who has the talents and gifts? What if we spent some time praying to see who maybe God was laying on our hearts to ask to be a part of this missional movement that God is doing? Maybe it's somebody who you see who has ministry gifts for kids ministry. Like, you see them and it's like a ninth grader who like loves hanging out with kids and praying, but they're not currently serving, right? Like, this was one of my stories growing up, as I started very early hanging out in nursery and kids ministry. And that's why I got into youth ministry to start, because somebody said to me, you seem to have a knack for hanging out with kids and with students. Have you ever thought about following up on that? Have you ever thought about going into ministry to pursue that sort of work? Somebody had that conversation with me. Or you know somebody who plays an instrument but like might be deathly afraid to get on a stage. That's also me, right? Like, you may never see me play my violin up on the stage as well as what happened up here this morning. But like, somebody at some point in time said, hey, you have a gift for music. You should think about pursuing that, right? Maybe you know people who have those gifts either vocally or through instruments of some kind that you could say, hey, in worship ministry, we care about helping people encounter God through music. Maybe you should use your gift to help in that way. Healthy teams and missional multiplication belong together. If a team is healthy, both of those things go hand in hand, where we're able to spiritually discern well who we can ask to call to be a part of this missional movement that God has given us. Success for a church cannot only be measured by what stays here ultimately. We'll see that in Acts chapter 13, verse 3. Here's what it says. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them, being Barnabas and Saul, and they sent them off. Point number three is this: That multiplication requires us to think beyond ourselves. And honestly, this may be the most challenging part about this entire passage. But I want to bring us back. Some of you don't know the whole backstory of Jamestown Harbor being planted about 11 years ago now. There's a church out in Byron Center called South Harbor. Some of you know or have been to South Harbor before for various different holiday events. When Jamestown Harbor was being thought about and planted back in the day, there was a group of people at South Harbor, and I was on staff there at the time when this happened, that were starting to feel this missional movement. They were starting to do some of this work together. Where they were sensing this call, there was a bunch of people living in Jamestown as we mapped out locations to say, maybe God is doing something in Jamestown, that we need to take these really incredible people that are starting to do some really incredible work at South Harbor, get them in a room and say, what would it look like to go and missionally multiply in the neighborhoods where you find yourself in Jamestown? And there are some of those people that are still in this room today. And I have to tell you, being on staff there at the time, it was not like people that shouldn't have been going. This is like some of the top people from the church who were doing all sorts of incredible stuff that we were kind of discerning and hearing the Spirit's leading to say, what if we sent those people to go and do that work? Would it hurt? Absolutely. Did it hurt? Absolutely. But what happened because of that? Because of that missional movement, Jamestown Harbor has had over 100 people over the course of the 10 years, 11 years, that have been baptized and started relationships with Jesus. There have been kids that have come through kids ministry and students ministry here that are now rock stars who are leading people to faith on college campuses. There's all of this crazy stuff that 11 years ago, it was so incredibly hard to say goodbye to really good people. But what we see now is that God did something beyond our wildest imaginations in Jamestown in ways that we couldn't have even fathomed. Was it hard? Absolutely. There were really good people. But like the church in Antioch, Saul and Barnabas, what we know, Saul would go on. And the reason that we are here today is because of the work that Saul did through being sent. But the church in Antioch could have looked at Saul and Barnabas and said, man, those individuals, like, they're rock stars. We could use them for stuff here. Like, we could use them for this really amazing ministry idea that we have in Antioch. Or we could say, hey, we're on the south side of Antioch. We could have them. They live on the north side. We could have them, like, be in their neighborhood, have them be a part of this church, bring more people to this community. And we could just have this growing, flourishing community here, which wouldn't have been a bad thing. But for them, it had to have been hard knowing the gifts and the talents that Saul and Barnabas carried to the table to say, what if we sent them with our blessing to go and do the work that God had laid out for them to do? It had to have been extremely hard and difficult to say goodbye in a way that we don't even fully understand because we're connected in more ways than we need to. But that church probably said goodbye to those individuals forever and sent them to go and do that work. Sometimes it hurts to send good people to do the missional work that God is calling. But missional multiplication asks us to value what God can do through us beyond what we can keep for ourselves. Healthy teams and missional multiplication belong together. And for the church, success for a church can not only be measured by what stays here. As we think about going out into this world, we have to ask the questions of where could our gifts best be used? Maybe that's here in this context. Maybe in the future, it's looking at our missional footprint and saying, like, man, there's a lot of us coming from Door area. What if we planted a church in Door? Or there's a lot of us coming from Allendale or Holland or wherever it is. Like, what would it look like for us to use our gifts to missionally multiply outside of our walls in ways that matter? Would it hurt? Absolutely. To say goodbye to some people that we have really deep relationships would hurt and does hurt. And yet, we can keep reading in the book of Acts and see the beautiful work that happened because the church was willing to say goodbye to Saul and Barnabas and bless them as they went. In the same way that South Harbor said to a bunch of people in this room, hey, we are going to miss you and we love you, but we're going to send you with the Holy Spirit to Jamestown to do some really amazing work. And who knows where God is going to call us in the future. But all of these things, for us, we have to remember that success for a church can't be measured by what stays here. because healthy teams and churches are not the end goal. Although healthy churches and teams make healthy ministry possible, and a healthy ministry should keep moving outwards beyond these walls. Acts 13 gives us a beautiful example of this movement, where a church stopped and prayed and discerned and saw its people for the giftings that they had. They prayed over them, they laid hands on them, they blessed them, they called them into the space, and then they sent those people outward to see the beautiful missional work that God would do throughout the world. Which brings me to one question that I have for you all. What is one next team or missional step that Jesus might be inviting you to take? I think because of the gifts and the talents that we all have, Jesus is probably calling us to do something. It's just whether or not we're willing to open our hearts and our minds to listen. Because some of those things might be utterly scary. Like some of you might say, like, kids, no way. They scare the living daylights out of me, right? But maybe God is calling you there for a season to stretch you, right? Maybe God is calling you to a ministry or a mission that you deeply care about in your community that maybe terrifies you in a way, but God is calling you to invest in some sort of way in that community. I want to help us think about this a little bit more when we think about what is one next team or missional step Jesus is inviting me to take. I think about this, like if you're already serving somewhere, if you're already invested somewhere, what would it look like to bring someone with you? What would it look like for you to bring somebody to do whatever that beautiful work is that you're doing where God has called you to lead? What would it look like for you to invite somebody to go and do that, to get them in the game? Not because we need more people just to serve, but maybe because it's where we see their giftings and their skills could be best used at work for the Holy Spirit and the mission of God. If you're already serving, what would it look like to bring somebody with you? Or what if you love where you're serving, right? What if you love where you're serving and you can't think of anybody who maybe has the time to invest here? But what would it look like for you to share that story, to tell people why you love doing the mission that God has called you to do, right? My wife and I, there's a ministry in Romania that my wife served with for a while. And one of the beautiful things that I love about her is like when that opportunity comes for her to tell about the work that she did and that ministry does for orphans in Romania, like you can just see her face light up about it, right? Is anybody in this space going to all of a sudden sell their house and go over to Romania and start doing that work? Probably not. But there's this thing that happens inside of us when we connect with a mission that God has called us to do. Something else fuels inside of us this desire to be a part of something that matters. The same way we talked about our authentic story making a difference. When you love where you serve or you love the missions that you care about, it does something inside of somebody else to share the love and the story of what Jesus is up to. And that doesn't just have to be within these walls. It can be anywhere within the community where the mission of God is being carried out. And so what if you maybe don't have a lot of, like, some people can give financially to things. What if you don't have finances? What if you have time that you can give, right? If you have time, give of your time. It's a great resource that we have, although it might be limited, but maybe in this season coming up, God is saying, hey, a way to draw back closer to me is to think about our schedules and reorient ourselves instead of spending all of our time doing all of these things that we do in a regular week. What if part of God's calling to you was to say, hey, look at the time and how you spend it. Do you have some spaces where you can give up time in order to go and serve and multiply my mission within this church or within the community around you? And who are those people that are helping you discern that along the way? If you have time, give that time. Maybe you don't have time, which is absolutely true for many of us in this room, but maybe you have financial abilities. What if you have resources? Maybe give of those resources to things that matter to you most. My wife and I have these things outside of Jamestown Harbor that we give to, that we care about deeply on a regular basis. I'm sure many of you have those things, whether they're kid sponsorships or clean water in Africa or orphan outreach or what Mission India, whatever those things are that you care about. Maybe there's spaces that maybe you have some financial abilities that you can give to these things. You can't have the time in order to go and fly there and do the work yourself. But maybe you have the resourcing and the ability to give financially to these missionaries who do that work already. So maybe you have resources. Give of your finances to do that. If you don't have time and maybe don't have resources, that is a reality also for us in this space, right? What you can do in those moments is if you don't have those things, stay connected. Email regularly with those missionary partners. Subscribe to newsletters. And most of all, pray for that mission that you care about deeply, even though you might not be able to give time and you might not be able to give financially a part of it. We see that this is what the individuals are doing first and foremost here. And so I don't want this to be like the afterthought of like, well, I don't have time or I don't have finances, so like I guess I'll just do this instead, right? We see the church in Antioch, the first thing that they did was they stayed connected to the mission of God by being in prayer and focusing on what the Holy Spirit was doing. And so if you don't have time, if you don't have finances, you are still in a really beautiful space for God to do some pretty remarkable work through you. Stay connected to the things that matter most to you. Subscribe to those newsletters. Don't let them get lost in your inbox, as so many things do. Be intentional about checking those things and be in prayer regularly for the work that God is up to in those ministries. Healthy church is a church that listens deeply to God first and foremost. It's a place that spends time in prayer on its knees, wondering what God is up to, not just a church that uses Planning Center really well or spreadsheets to the best of their ability. It's none of that is what matters most. What matters most that we as a church spend our time in prayer listening for what God is up to. And when we listen to Jesus together, he will call us. He will shape us in really deep and beautiful ways. And he will sometimes send us in ways that stretch us beyond what is comfortable. That's what happened in the church in Antioch. That's what happened when I was at South Harbor watching people leave to go and plant Jamestown. It stretched us, and yet it was really beautiful because we watched as these two communities prayed and worshiped together and listened and then released people to go and do the missional work that God had called them to be. This is the kind of church that we want to be at Jamestown Harbor. We want to be a church where people grow. We want to be a church where there are gifts that are discovered, and we want to be a church where people are sent, and above all else, we want to be a church that first and foremost seeks the Lord and his will for where and how and when we would move next for what he has in store for us, because we are not a church that is just here for ourselves. But we are a church that exists first and foremost for our neighbors in our community around us. And I think together we can do that in some really beautiful ways. Would you spend some time with me in prayer this morning? God, we thank you for the ways in which you have led us all through these doors this morning. For whatever reason, you wanted us to be here this morning, whether it was to hear a song that we sang or some words that I spoke, or maybe it wasn't even any of those things. It was just somebody that we met in the lobby that could speak into our lives. For whatever reason, you drew us here this morning, and we pray from the bottom of our hearts that whatever it is that we needed to hear this morning, that you would implant it deeply in our hearts. That you would help that, whatever it was, to grow up inside of us and well up inside of us and eventually overflow through a missional movement in our communities that we don't even know how or when it started, but we just know that there's something beautiful happening in this community. And so God, in this moment, as we think about maybe where we have some time that we could give, would you put on our hearts maybe an area of ministry within this church that we say, you know what? There's some giftings that I have here. Maybe I could use those in that way. Or as we think about missions and missional opportunities and service opportunities in our community, would you place something on our heart that would cause us to get excited because we see that you're up to something there and we want to join and be a part of it? Would you help place people in our lives that would help us discern where that might be? If we think about maybe we have some financial abilities in this moment that we could give to various different ministries, whether that be here at Jamestown Harbor or neighborhood communities or missional organizations throughout our community or the world, would you embed that so deeply in our hearts That even though one of the hardest things that we can do in life is to give up some of the gifts that you have given through finances, would you help unlock that in our heart in order to give to a mission and an opportunity that is doing good work in your neighborhood? Whether that's feeding children or reaching youth through missional organizations or helping with poverty around the world, wherever it might be, would you just place something or someone or an organization in our minds and our hearts that you would help us just care so deeply about that it would unlock our ability to give generously to those areas? And even if we don't have either of those abilities of time or money, Lord, would you place ministries that we could stay connected with? That it would just well up inside of us that even though we might not be able to be invested hands-on or financially, that we would care so deeply about this ministry that our love and our joy and our passion would be infectious for that. And that it would overflow in our conversations and we would tell people about that who maybe do have some of those things so that they could join into the missional movement and impact that you're doing in our world. God, we thank you for the work that you're doing. We want to be a healthy church that missionally multiplies in our communities and around the world. And so would you help us discern this week what our next step would be as a place that we can get involved in to continue to see the missional work that you're doing move outward from these walls into the community that we love and care about so deeply. So God, we give all of these things over to you. We love you, and we'll talk to you soon. And everybody said, Amen.